Today we're continuing in the Gospel of Mark, looking at chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. Listen to God's word. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that Jesus answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' There's no other commandment greater than these." Then the scribe said to Jesus, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and beside him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." After that, no one dared him ask any question. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Dear God, we thank you so much for your word and how we learn about who you are, your love for us, and your desire that we would love you in return. God, we pray that you would speak to us now through my words, through the words of Reverends Luther and Christine Tarpe. God, speak to our hearts that we would love you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, how many of you were here when Luther was here and preached for us back in February of 2012? Some of you remember that? So we were going through the story at the time, which is a narrative retelling of the whole Bible. And Luther just happened to come on a day when I was scheduled to preach. And he just happened to come on the day when we were scheduled to look at the biblical figure of Nehemiah. I say just happened, but I could see God's fingerprints all over it. Because if ever there was a modern day man like Nehemiah, it's Luther Tarpe. Nehemiah's description as a godly man of prayer who God has called to rebuild his country is a great description for Luther as well, as he is intentionally raising up godly leaders who can rebuild the country of Liberia after decades of devastating civil war. So when I heard about Luther and Christine coming to Fort Collins this weekend, when I just happened to be scheduled to preach, I was curious to see what passage in our Mark sermon series was coming up. And lo and behold, God had done it again. Because it was this passage about loving God with all of one's heart and soul and mind and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. And these are verses that are so familiar to us, so familiar that they almost get lost. Yeah, yeah, love God, love neighbor, heard it. But it's helpful to get an example of what that can look like. And Luther and Christine Tarpe are role models for me, for what it looks like to love God with one's whole life and have that love of God be expressed in how they love their neighbor. Just like many of us, I've seen that Luther and Christine wish they had more time in their day and wish they had more resources to work with. But what I've seen time and time again is their desire for more isn't for themselves. They are blessed with a nice parcel of land in Liberia, but were willing to let some of it be used for the peanut butter house. And then when we said that we were going to need to double the footprint by adding an annex, they didn't bat an eye. They are loving God with all of their land. Christine, after visiting a feeding clinic in Liberia, became passionate about the work of the Peanut Butter House and managed to find time between being a pastor and a seminary professor and a mom to also be manager for the project. She is loving God with all of her time. when Luther and Christine were feeling the limits of only being able to help 18 boys get education because of the limitations in the housing space of the Transformation International home. They decided to start a school committed to excellence in education that could help hundreds of children be educated. They are loving the Lord with all of their strength. So I'm excited to be able to welcome up Luther and Christine Tarpey for them to share more about what it means to love God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength and to love our neighbors as ourselves. So come on up.
Good morning. I bet this is very strange, having three preachers in one service. We bring you greetings from our family in Liberia, West Africa, where it's very warm and sunny, much warmer than it is here. But thank God for the sun. Our kids and the boys in the Transformation Home also send their love. The Best Brains Academy, the school we started, the Best Brains family also send their love to you all. Let me start with expressing our deepest thanks and appreciation to this wonderful church for your ministry to us over the past years. We appreciate the team that has consistently visited and tirelessly worked under scorching heat and annoying rain. But we know that behind these men and women whom we love so dearly are thousands of you who gave sacrificially, prayed fervently, and committed yourself to this vision of sharing the love of God to neighbors, even though they were continent away. Please accept our thanks for your financial support, your prayers, and your love. Usually, human being love lists. I, for one, I feel better when I know what I'm expected to do. And many times I feel good about myself when at the end of the day, I'm able to cross all the items on my to-do list. And I nod, I give myself a pat on the back and say, yes, I've done it. I think this was the mindset of this religious teacher in our test this morning. Maybe his motive was to trap Jesus with this tricky question to show this new rabbi that he didn't know it all. But his question revealed more about human nature than maybe he had intended. Of all the commandments, which one is the most important? I remember as a young Christian also asking the same question. Which commandment do I obey to keep out of hell? Someone here may also be thinking of that as well, I think. You know, give to God, go on mission trip. Do this and do that. But which one do I do? And then I'm sure I've got it nailed, as the Americans would say. You know, because I don't have so much time to spend on the less important things. So I want to know the most important. And I don't have so much resources to spread all around. So I want to get it right. And I don't have the strength to juggle so many things at the same time. I want to get it right. Maybe this was not the motive of this religious teacher, but sometimes this is our motive as we ponder which commandment is the greatest. And Jesus answers this, I wouldn't call him a seeker, but I know there are seekers in this sanctuary this morning. And Jesus answers him with a passage from the Old Testament, a passage from way back from the book of Deuteronomy, the ancient word, but so new. Like the contemporary musician will say, Michael W. Smith sings, ancient word, ever true, changing me, changing you. Jesus goes back to the scripture and gives this seeker, I hope, the basics. And it was an answer that was so simple but so profound. It tells us that it is not what we do, but who we are. It springs from within us. I am to love the Lord my God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and all my strength. To do this, a number of things will happen. I'll have to lose myself in the process, give up control over myself. And that is difficult because it goes against the ingrained nature of man. And somehow that is what happens in marriage when we pledge ourselves to our spouses and we say, we give ourselves over to you. No wonder marriage is like a beautiful metaphor of our relationship with God. But the beauty of it is this, my brothers and sisters, that when we do this, then we discover our true center in life and our purpose for living. Saint Augustine says that because God has made us for ourselves, our hearts are restless until they rest in Him. I've experienced this so many times. I find my deepest joy and my greatest fulfillment in those hours when I get lost in just service, doing and being a friend to somebody who is lonely, giving a meal to somebody who needs it at that time. That is when I feel the most purest form of joy that wells up from the deep within me. The second part of Jesus' answers reveals God's heart for mankind. He says to love our neighbors as ourselves. And we know our neighbor to be the person next to us. We also acknowledge that those who are in need around us are also our neighbors, and they must be shown our love. Sometimes our neighbors can be next door or in the next town. They could even be in countries far away or even continents far away. But we cannot turn our backs to them, on them, because love compels us to act and to help mitigate their suffering, relieve their oppression, and ease their burdens. As I prepared for this short time of sharing, I pondered in the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, and who is sufficient for this thing? Can we really love purely, perfectly, as God would want us love? My consolation this morning is from 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, which says we love Him because He first loved us. So if you are wondering this morning, how can I really love God? Just remember that even before you were born, even before you came to know Him, He loved you as if there was only you in the entire world. His love is what makes our love possible because He is love. Beloved, it is not from us because we cannot love. He pours His love deep down into our hearts and it outflows to our neighbors around us. This is very comforting to me. And sometimes it becomes very liberating because I'm not limited by who I am. I can just be a channel through whom God pours out His love. Let me close with this. And it is from Max Lucado, one of my inspirations. He says, forgive and give as if it were your last opportunity. Love like there is no tomorrow. And if tomorrow comes, love again. God bless you.
It's very difficult to preach when two powerful female reverends have preached before you. But I'm very delighted to be here with you wonderful people here in Fort Collins. Sorry, my voice is bad. I love the cold. When I come here, I love the cool weather, but now my voice is gone, so I'll try. Let me thank Don Forey. I don't know what is here, but he is the man who recommended us to Nancy Sibeniger. And Nancy Sibeniger recommended us to Dr. Armour. And Dr. Armour, through his love for God, put us in contact with you wonderful brothers and sisters in the Lord. And so let me add my voice to my white voice and say thank you for your love, for serving God and standing with us to do what the Lord has called us to do. Thank you, Pastor Paul. Thank you, Pastor Cindy. Thank you, the Spanglers, for giving us a home away from home. And all of you who prayed, who love us, yesterday we went snowshoeing. And I was watching my wife right in front of me, marching down as Goliath was marching to the battlefield. But I praise God that she was okay. Beloved, this morning, building on what Pastor Sandy and my wife Christine have said, I just want to give my story of how I've been trying to love God. That's what I'm trying to do here. There is no doubt that we are convinced that God loves all of us. We've been hearing that from the time we were kids. In Sunday school, we sang, Jesus loved me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We are all products of God's love. And there is none of us who can run away from God's love. The famous Anglican Archbishop of South Africa, Archbishop Desmond Tutu of South Africa, said, the love of God is like fire in the winter. As long as you sit by it, you don't need to be intelligent or cleansed. It will warm you. And so all of us have been touched by God's love in different ways. And this is why the Apostle Paul said, what should separate us from the love of God? And the songwriter said, he loves me more than I ever know. And each of us sitting here have tasted God's love. The teacher of the Lord in the story that Pastor Cindy read, after Jesus gave the greatest commandment on earth, he explained, he highlighted the importance of that commandment. He said, this is more important than anything I can ever imagine. And Jesus said something to him, huh, you are very close to the kingdom. When we know what is required, we are close. But there's just one way. And so this morning, permit me to reflect on my own journey. The question is, how do we love God? How do we love God? How do we return His love? How do we love Him back? Now that He cleansed us from our sins, and He sanctified us and make us His own. I've come to realize two things quickly before I take my seat. That when I try to love God, every moment in my life, when I make some efforts to love God, I find out, number one, that God redefines the meaning of life. Every time I try to love God, He gave me a new perception about life. When I was growing up, I was extremely selfish. So selfish that I used to quarrel with my mother for giving food to the poor. I remember my mom feeding a group of widows, and I said to her, this is not fair. You cannot take our food and give to the widows. But she said, God's love must flow through me to these people. When I gave my life to Christ and I started loving God, I noticed that God began to deal with the selfishness that I found in my life. I was very selfish. I cared only about myself, my dreams, my goals, my comfort. But the time I take to know God and spend time in His presence, the more I love Him, the more God helped me to take my eyes off myself and see people the great God sees them. And I see that in life, If we love God and we obey God, we will be surprised how God is going to touch our lives to see differently, to redefine life differently. My country fought war for 15 years. And after the war, the Lord spoke to me and said, go back home. Leave your job, quit your job, and go back to Liberia. My wife and I were living in Nigeria in a nice house with electricity and water 24/7. And the Lord was asking me to quit my job and go back to Liberia, a country broken, no electricity, no water. When I prayed and the Lord said, go back, I said, okay. But in the morning, when I told my wife, I said, honey, tomorrow we are resigning to go back to Liberia and serve the Lord there. My wife surprised me. She said, when do you want me to write those letters of resignation? I was surprised. I thought she was going to say, no, don't go. And I would have stayed. But she wrote those letters. And I jumped on the plane and went back to Liberia, leaving my wife and my two kids in Nigeria. When I got home, I had nowhere to lay my head. I slept on the floor of a friend's living room for 3 weeks. And I said, but why am I here? I got nowhere to live, no food to eat. But I realized, friends, when you love God, obedience is a major part of it. It may not be at your comfort, but you have to obey. And looking back 7 years later, I am glad that the Lord gave me the courage and gave us the grace to resign and go back to Liberia. In my journey, when I try to love God, God take my eyes off myself and make me to see life the way he wants me to see it. I urge you this morning, friends, in your effort to love God, you will be surprised that so much you can do, so much God can do through you when you try to love him. Finally, the second thing I see when I try to love God is that when I love God, I see God can even use me as insignificant as I am. The last time when I came here, I told you about my story. My father rejected me. He didn't want me to go to school. My poor mother did everything to send me to school. Now, when the Lord said, go back to Liberia, what am I going to do? Looking back, I begin to see that if God wants to heal the world, he is sovereign. He can do it by himself. But that is not God's method of healing the world. He wants to pass through us, through me, through you, to give hope to the hopeless. Here we are, Christine and myself, mentoring young people who lost their parents, who have no hope. Years later, these hopeless young people are now looking into the future with hope, knowing that God has never forgotten them. When we love God, we are instrument in God's hand. Look at what you've done. See the dying babies in Liberia. There are over 30,000, close to 100,000 malnourished children. But because you chose to honor God with your little resources, you are saving lives. Babies that ought to have died have a chance to live. I want to challenge us. God will still show himself when we love him with our talent, our resources, our lives, our dreams, our family. We may never know how far God will use us to heal the world. May God help us to love him with our lives, with everything. Amen.